WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
For 7 weeks in 1955, the number one record was 16 Tons, sung by Tennessee Ernie Ford. It was the fastest-selling single of its time, selling more than 1 million copies in 3 weeks. The song was written in 1947 by Merle Travis. Tennessee Ernie Ford was a popular host of a daytime variety TV show when 16 Tons hit the charts. 10 months later, he was hosting a primetime network show that lasted for 5 years. But in the late 40s and early 50s, Ford was known as a country singer. Rhino Records has just put out a new collection of his recordings. It includes his hits 16 Tons and Mule Train, as well as his early boogie-woogie tunes like this one, his own Shotgun Buggy.
There it stands in the corner with the barrel so straight. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun boogie, I done saw your track. Look out, Mr. Rabbit, when I cock my hammer back.
How did you start combining country singing with a boogie-woogie accompaniment?
Well, I wrote most of those old boogie things I did. I wrote them myself. And I got together with the musicians, and I said, why don't we put a boogie rhythm to this, which is just the old doom da 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 doom. And it's just a country thing back in those days that was just a revitalization, I think, of the old country rhythms that we'd already had, and somebody named it Boogie Woogie, and I don't know who did that.
And one of the songs that's included on this new anthology is 16 Tons. Now, this is not a Boogie Woogie, but it's probably your best-known recording.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Every recording artist likes to have a song that identifies him with the rest of his life. Bing Crosby and I were playing golf together one time, and he said, you know, a great identity. He said, even though I'm working somewhere in the middle of July, I can't leave the stage until I sing White Christmas. And, of course, that identity that stays with you the rest of your life is a dream of all recording artists, and 16 Tons did that for me.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine.
I was 4 years old when 16 Tons came out. And
I was a little older than that.
Yeah, no. Now, I really loved the song when I was 4 years old, but I have to tell you, it terrified me. I found it a really scary song. First of all, you had this like really deep voice. The song was in this minor key that was very dark to me. And you were growing another day older and deeper in debt. And, you know, St. Peter, don't you call me, because I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I knew the song was about death, but I didn't know who St. Peter was. I was Jewish. I didn't know what a company store was. I was growing up in Brooklyn, New York.
The song really is a documentary lyric. My father and my uncle and the man who wrote the song, his people worked in the coal mines in Kentucky. And the average man in those days could dig 16 tons of coal in a day's work.
Is it right that you wanted to be an opera singer before you started singing country music?
Oh, my mother, you know, when I grew up and sang in church and so forth, she had, frankly, Terry, I wanted to be a farmer. But I was a radio announcer right after I got out of high school. And was very excited about that because that was a long time ago. It was in the late 30s. And our hometown got a radio station. And I started just being a regular, what they called a staff announcer. There was no such thing as a disc jockey. So you had a regular 8-hour shift that you did everything that came on, from Baptist preachers to classical music to country music to whatever was on the schedule.
Was it radio that led you into singing?
Well, somebody heard me sing. There used to be a live country show on a station in Pasadena that I worked, Cliffy Stone's Hometown Jamboree. And I used to run out of the announcer's booth and run in there and sing with them just for fun. Really, it was fun. And actually, Merle Travis was a member of that group.
Huh.
And Cliffy Stone headed it. And I would sing. And finally, Cliffy, who was a very influential, he said, "Well, how would you like to take a run at this thing?" I said, "Look, you're very kind and all that, but," I said, "I'm a depression baby, and I've got a good job, and I'm making close to $85 a week, and don't fool around." But he said, "Listen, I think I can get you a record contract." I said, "Well, I'll go ahead and go down and try out something if you want to." So that was December 1949, if I go back right. And then I did turn pro in 1950. But I still had my radio job.
Oh, you still were announcing?
Oh, sure. Uh-huh. I held on to that for a long time.
Your evening TV show was sponsored by Ford.
Right.
Did the Ford Motor Company want to sponsor your show because your name was the same? Did that have anything to do with
it? No, J. Walter Thompson Advertising Agency, after the success of my daytime show, Mr. Danny Seymour took a brochure of me back to the board of directors of Ford Motor Company. Well, Ford did not have anything on nighttime television at all. And so Danny took my success story of the daytime show back there and met, and Henry II was at the meeting. And his only comment was, "Ernie, who?" Like this was some kind of a joke. He said, "No, his name is Ford," but that didn't really make that much. He liked my work, and so we signed, and I want to meet the people in a sponsor like that. So I went back to Detroit, and I met the workers. I went to the plants. I went to the test track. I drove the cars. I met the engineers. You want to know about something like that, because I always like to do one or two of the commercials when I'm on my own show. I love to sell. I love to sell as much as I like to sing. And I would do one of the commercials on the show each night, each Thursday night. And Dinah Shore and I used to joke so much about we could never be a guest on each other's show because she was on for Chevrolet.
That's right.
And she was a Tennessee girl also, you know.
Right, her theme was see the USA in a Chevrolet. Or was that,
sure,
Bob Hope's theme? No.
Hmm?
Yeah, that was her theme. Or was that Bob Hope's theme?
That was her, see the USA. And okay. Ours was "You're Ahead in the Ford All the Way," yeah.
Right. What did you do after the show went off the air, the national show?
I did it 5 years, and then I was never canceled. I thought after 5 years, I wanted to, my life was, my two sons were starting to grow up a little bit, and I wanted to be with them. And so after 5 years, I terminated it myself. Even though our fifth year was our highest rated year. But I felt that I did the right thing by just taking a little sabbatical to get a hold of myself. Things were going a little bit fast for this old country boy, and I loved everything I was doing. And what I didn't want to happen was to do something to such a point that I would learn to hate it, that to have it consume me rather than to keep it and always have it there and know that whenever I do walk out, somebody will want to see me instead of saying, "Oh, here comes him again." And I felt that I was being consumed by it, and I wanted to take a rest. I built a home and took 9 months off, and then I took another daytime show. And so if I look back, I wouldn't change a thing.
Are you still performing now?
Oh, yes. I still do concerts. I do television specials and guest shots, and I work a lot of charity things. And I'm doing a concert in Buffalo, New York in December. And So I still work some.
Are you doing a lot of gospel music as well as country music
now?
Oh,
sure. That's a great part of our gospel. I've worked every big room in Nevada and Las Vegas and Reno and Lake Tahoe. The first thing they asked me is, you're going to close with the gospel, aren't you? And I said, well, if you want it, we got it. And, oh, yeah, it's still a part of our music. You don't have to put on a black robe and sit in a pile of ashes to sing that stuff. It's great music. Come on, it's a great music, and it's happy music. And we found that to be true when we pioneered it. And and I'm still glad because now it's definitely a part.
Thanks. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Terry, it's been a pleasure. Come to California sometime. We'll show you around.
Tennessee Ernie Ford spoke with us from station KQED in San Francisco. 16 Tons of Boogie, the best of Tennessee Ernie Ford, is on Rhino Records.